We live in a world where articulation of our words is extremely important for the benefit that we achieve, that we like to have. And if we don't articulate our words and choose our words carefully, we're not helping ourselves. One word that is extremely important in the teachings of the University of Healing and any metaphysical school is the word create. We are told in biblical scriptures that we are the creators of our world. And we're told that our thoughts are the creators of our world. And we are told that everything we think is a way of creating in our world things happening. Now, a new school of thought came out in maybe about 8,000 BC, and the school of thought was that we are going to attract to us, we're going to magnetize to us. And that concept of magnetism has been so powerful and so meaningful because people like to feel that with magnetism they have no control. That when people want to magnetize them with their eyes, hypnotize them, when people want to magnetize them with their thoughts, that, you know, I think my thought and the power of the universe vibrates to manifest it, you know. Sort of a magnetism, but it's not. But it's creating. Now, we teach that our thoughts are things, and with them we create the experiences of our world. We create it. We don't draw it to us. We don't attract it to us. We don't magnetize it to us. But much of the philosophy of metaphysics is that idea. We have our two great movies that are out, The Secret and What the Bleep Do We Care, and both of them love to promote magnetism. They love to promote this magnetism that, who was that guy, Mr. Messner? You know, remember Messner?
Yes.
And he proved magnetism, did all sorts of wonderful things. He had people sitting with their feet in a tub, and he had an electromagnet whirling around there, drawing all sorts of interesting pictures, you know. And when I was in high school, our teacher in physics, he had all of us come up to the front of the class. You know, this is what always happened at the beginning of all the physics program. And he had us all hold hands. And don't break your hand. Don't let anybody break hands with you. And so then he turned on the Tesla coil. And in that, he whirled it around and around and around and created what? Electromagnetism. And in that electromagnetism, what happened to each one of us?
You were magnetized.
Our hair stood on end. We looked like a bunch of crazy idiots, you know. Our hair on our arms, if you had any, on your head stood on end. It didn't hurt you. It didn't hurt you one little bit, but it sure made you look silly. And of course, you all have experienced static electricity walking across the carpet on a very dry, wet day, and the connection made your hair stand on end, or you touch the key in the lock, or you touch the car without touching the lock, and dang, zap, you get all sorts of nice shocks. And really, it's quite exciting. So, that is something you can see, feel, hear, and taste, and touch, and tell. And because it has all of those assets to it, people think it's real. They think it's very real, that it has a power, and that power can cause the world to go round or not. Now, what is it that keeps the North Pole in its place?
Nothing.
Nothing. Is there a magnetism on the Earth?
No.
Yes.
That's what we believe.
I'm telling you there is. There is a magnetism on Earth. And the magnetism is merely the reaction between two poles, the North Pole and the South Pole. In every magnet that is ever built, it is magnetism between the North Pole and the South Pole. And if the North Pole and the North Pole are put together, they bounce away from each other. If the South Pole and South Pole are put together, they bounce away from each other. If you ever have a magnet, try it out and you'll see. You can lay the two magnets together side by side, or you can put them end on end with north to south, north to south, and they will cling. Now, what benefit are they? Well, it's sort of a clamping together of the essence of the Earth. It's sort of a clamping together of the physical Earth, which is made basically of a metal core and metal, it's all mineral metal material. Now, what happens when the moon goes around the Earth? When the moon goes around the Earth, the moon causes the tide to go up and down and up and down the moon. The magnetism of the moon, as far as it is from the Earth, causes the tides to go up sometimes 10 feet, sometimes more. Now, that's quite a pull. That's quite a power. However, what we must keep in mind and realize for ourselves, that magnetism works on only certain avenues of effect. It does not work on our human bodies as far as our minds, unless we want it to. Now, they have attempted to do work in the mental institutions with magnetism, and they found it very ineffective, because the brain does not want to allow itself to be affected by the magnetism as much as the psychiatrists or the physicists or the people using magnetism would like to have it do so. In fact, during the war, they have tried to use brainwashing through magnetism and other things, and it has been, if not ineffective, it has been a lack of consistency in its direction. And because it is not consistent, it is not used. So, what's this all about? What's this all about? Where do you stand on this? Where do you stand with the power of the universe? Are you the power of the universe? Are you able to think your thought and have it be manifest in your world? Are you? Are you able to live your life and be a wonderful, powerful force? Or are you creating? Or are you magnetizing? Or are you attracting? How are you doing it? Ellen, what's my favorite toy?
Computer.
My favorite toy is the...
iPhone.
Is the... I don't have it. Is the... what's the name of it? Our little motor vehicle.
Subway.
Yeah. And what is it that operates the little toy?
Battery.
What is it? Come on, Ingeborg, what is it that operates that little toy?
It operates by itself.
I would like to have you on my inventing team. What is the gadget inside of the vehicle that makes it run, that makes it do the things that it does?
Magnet.
The electro...
Magnet.
Magnet, which is... the gyroscopic magnet. It's a gyroscopic, you know when you spin a top? Mm-hmm. You know what a top is, and you spin a top, you go chewing and it turns around. That's a gyroscopic action that keeps the top up. And as long as the top can remain spinning at a specific speed or more or less, it will remain upright. And when you tilt it, it'll want to come back to upright. And when you do anything, it'll want to come back to upright. So if you drive your car down the hillside, your vehicle, it'll want to be straight up and down while it goes down the hill, just as what you'd like to be straight up and down too. And so when you're going along the level, it remains. And so if you tilt it to one side, it'll turn to that side because it wants to right itself. You tilt it to the other side, and you tilt it backwards, and it'll stop because it wants to right itself. It wants to stop and make itself upright, and you go forward and it'll keep going zoom fast, you know, and that's one of its functions of how a gyroscopic action works. Now, what is this gyroscopic action? What is a gyroscope? A gyroscope. What is a gyroscope? It's a spinning object. And it's an object that spins because it is made to spin. It is made to spin by electromagnetic, a battery-operated gadget within it. And that is how it operates. So your electric motor makes it spin. And it's really quite nice. So now, that's quite a powerful force, isn't it? Now, can you imagine them taking that force and applying it to other possibilities? Could you imagine having that gyroscope be used on the lifts that take you up and down the mountain on those gondolas and have it function to operate the cables and to operate the gondolas so the gondolas are always upright regardless? And of course you say, well, by the law of gravity they remain upright. But there's many other factors that come into play there. And someday, just like scientists years ago thought that if they could capture the tide, the movement of the tide, they could develop energy from it. And they have done it on some distant islands where they don't have any force. They've used the tide to create electricity. But I would think that they would have created something out of the sun, out of the solar system, which would be a lot easier because there's more sun than there is tide, you know. Or out of the wind, because they have a lot of good wind. Oh, there's a lot of still days, too, but a lot of good wind. And they could use that for creating electricity and developing these things. Well, now, what are we talking about? We're talking about what all that already exists, aren't we? Mm-hmm. Now, are you going to magnetize or attract to yourself these wonderful experiences? Or are you going to create out of the infinite allness that which already exists? You see, if you attract to yourself, then you attract something that somebody else has already created with all its limitations. Mm-hmm. When you create something yourself, you create something unlimited. You create something that is ready to be utilized for just how you want to use it. Now, can you see that if you take a gyroscope, a gyroscopic device, and you try to utilize it for many different things, it has no use. It has use only in specific areas. And so you want to use your mind to create out of the infinite whatever it is you have. So Ellen says, I would like a flying car. I would like a car that is just like any car, but it floats. And it also is a car that you speak your word to it and you say, Ellen, and the seats are all comfortably designed for Ellen. And then Ellen gets in her car and she says, Lugano, and zip, she's there. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. And then Ellen says, campus, and zip, she's there. And so she is to 3,100 million campuses all over the world. She's got to say the uni campus here in Campbell. You got to be specific, you know.
Right.
Otherwise, you're zip, 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 zip. You know, can you imagine yourself zipping around? My goodness, would you have a zip around? And so, you see, like I say, your gyroscopic concept is good and beautiful, but it has uses that have been defined. You want to have an item or whatever it is that has uses that are not defined, that are ready to do whatever you're bidding. And so, Anita says, I'm through with all that nonsense. I don't want to fool around with that at all. She says, I'm going to create myself a genie that I just say, genie, do this, and it's done. And it's done. But I say, genie, I want it this way. And the genie says, well, these are the possibilities you can have. I don't want those possibilities. I want the unlimited possibility. Okay, fine. You got it. And then she's got it. Now, what's the benefit of her having a genie bring these things forth instead of herself? Quickly.
Not responsive. It's not that easy.
If she has the genie bring it forth, the genie doesn't say it won't work. When she brings it forth herself, she knows it's not been done in her knowledge. She knows it's not been done. So therefore, she limits herself from bringing forth, creating all of these beautiful things that could be. Now, she thinks she's so smart. She says, oh, I would think of it. I would do this. You don't even know what you could do with your genie that you can't do with your own mind, because in your own mind you say, well, I weigh so many pounds and I have this and I have that. Well, hey, none of those things are of any cause, any effect. None of those things are of any consequence to you, because your genie doesn't know it's a limitation. And poof, there it is. And I love genie. I dream of genie, remember? And what did she do first thing out of the bottle? She kissed him. She kissed her master. You know, remember? You didn't watch the introduction as well. And then what was she doing in various other times? She was kissing her master. She and her master said, "Genie, not now. We got this here. They're going this." And then, but you see, the master was the limited one. If Genie had kissed her master and somebody walked in who shouldn't have seen it, he would just say, make them not remember it. Mm-hmm. And she'd go, sure, no problem.
That's true.
Genie, let me hold you in my arms don't let anybody see me holding you. Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that. You know, because she was not a voyeur. She was not having anyone interested in seeing her there. She just wanted to play her little game of being a genie. Now, that's a comedy, that's a farce, that's a joke, or is it true or is it not true? You know? So, what are you going to do? You like that, huh? But you see, if I say to you, do this, your first thought would be, how can I not do it? And that's the terrible thing about us. Our first thought is, how can we not do it? I say, Beatrice, go home. So the first thing Beatrice does is say, well, I got to pack my suitcase and I got to buy plane ticket and I got to do this and that and the other. Beatrice, go home. I didn't say stay there. I said go home. So Beatrice says, well, how? And I said, think yourself there. What's the name of the person you're going to see there? Oscar? Bing! There you are, and there's Oscar in your arms, and you're holding him and snuggling him and just having a great old time. And then you say, gee, Oscar, that was easy. I'm not so homesick anymore. Bye. Ding! She's gone. And Oscar calls you and says, you know, I just had the most crazy illusion. I had the illusion that you were in my arms and I was holding you, and I was thinking, gee, isn't it nice to have Beatrice back, you know? And she's my one and only, my claim to fame and so forth. And you say, well, I was. Well, hey, Beatrice, if you can do that, zap me over there. I'd like to come and see what you're doing, you know? And so Beatrice zaps him here, and pretty soon we're zap here, zap there, zap everybody. And, you know, we got people coming in at like Grand Central Station here, you know? But why not? But can you see, Beatrice? Your first thought would be limiting. Your first thought would be the standard SOP, standard operating procedure. Instead of being, hey, I'm there. Think Oscar, and where is he? At the depot. Huh? think Barbara, and what's she doing? Right now, what's she doing? What is the time in Switzerland right now?
She's asleep.
What time is it in Switzerland right now? I didn't say she's asleep. My goodness sakes.
Huh? 4 o'clock in the morning.
4 o'clock in the morning. Okay. Please, you see, right away you get yourself all tied in a knot. So, just visualize Barbara waking up, going to the bathroom, opening the door and stepping inside, and here she is on the porch. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that shake her up a minute? She'd say, hey, Mom, what did you do to me? And you say, you did it to yourself, sweetheart. You go through that door and you'll be wherever you think you're going to be. And you say, wow, cool. Can we keep that door? Wouldn't that be society? But I sound like a fool.
No, no.
I sound like a dreamer. I sound like someone who's giving you rattle, tattle, tattle. But the thing is, this is real. And the scientists are coming to tell us this is real. They're coming to show us this is real. They're coming to demonstrate these things to us in our life. But are you going to create it, or are you going to draw it to yourself, or are you going to do what?
To think it. To live it.
You're going to create it. You're going to create it with your thought. Now, are you going to create it with your own stupidity, or are you going to create it having genie at your side to bring forth what you wish? You know? It's up to you. Now, if you are a fantastic person who thinks as broad as the ocean's wide or better, that's great. But if you are a person who thinks, well, let's see now, I got to get my airline tickets, you know. I wonder if they got a sale on it, you know, discount. Discount. Hi, Barb, how you doing? Give me a hug, you know. This is just between the two of us. We don't want Philip to know about this, you know. So, you know. Yeah. You see how you can all visualize that.
Yes.
You all visualize that silliness. But that isn't silly. That's true. Now, get yourself busy. Get yourself on this wildest dream you've ever dreamed. I've asked you to do this for years, and none of you have done it because you felt it was so silly. But I say to you, ha, 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 I'm enjoying it. And you aren't, because you're not able to dream your wildest dreams. So, adios. I'm off to Texas. I love you. I love you. I love you.